This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth.
Cheryl Batchelder is the chief executive officer of Popeyes Louisiana Kitchen. Perhaps you've been to Popeyes and enjoyed their wonderful food. You know, this woman, as CEO, turned that company around with a focus. And the focus is on serving others. She's a committed Christian in the workplace and everywhere she goes. Batchelder is also the author of the book, Dare to Serve. And in a recent interview, she expressed her thoughts on the topic of servanthood. She said that the Bible verse that's on my calendar every day is Philippians 2, verse 3. I haven't found one that's more paramount to how I want to lead in my family and in my work. And that is, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Cheryl said, I really like the choice of words around counting others more significant than yourselves. I believe that we're all born with an inner two-year-old. And we'd really still like to be laying on the floor kicking and screaming because we didn't get the candy bar we wanted. It's pretty hardwired that we're self-absorbed little people and we learn to fake it well, but we're still pretty much like that two-year-old on the inside. And what she's just done is describe for us the challenge that we face with respect to love. Because God wants us to love others, doesn't he? He wants us to love as Jesus loved, but it's hard to do that when we're all wrapped up in ourselves. You know, we love two-year-olds, don't we? But we don't want to act like them for our whole lives. So Jesus gives us the best love example that we could ever have. We read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That verse immediately puts us in the context of a family, doesn't it? Brothers and sisters. The idea behind the expression laying down one's life, or as in some translations it says, setting aside one's life, is that I'm going to put my wants and my needs over here on this shelf. I'm going to put them down. I'm going to put them away. And the needs of others, well, those will come first. This is what our Lord and Savior described when he referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's the same expression. He lays down his life. That's what he does as the shepherd. You know, sheep are in need of care. Sheep are in need of guidance, compassion. The shepherd is constantly on alert, watching to make sure the sheep are well. The shepherd is not thinking about the Bengals game. He's not thinking about how he wants to turn on the World Series or go to Graders. No, what the shepherd is thinking about is the sheep. That's what his mind is on, is their needs. Now, it's possible to go through the motions, isn't it? It's possible to pretend that you care about someone. But Jesus makes it very clear in the 10th chapter of John that no one was forcing him to do this. He told the disciples that his heart was totally in it. In verse 18 of John chapter 10, Jesus says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down, my life, on my own accord. And when I truly love other people, I make sacrifices without being told to by my spouse, by my children, or by my parents. I do it of my own accord. That's what Jesus says. And if we're going to imitate Jesus, we lay down one's life willingly. But it helps to be specific, doesn't it? So the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3, in verse 17, does it with a question, and it's a good one. He says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? I'm reminded of what Martin Luther King Jr. once said. The time is always right to do the right thing. I'm also reminded of what St. Francis of Assisi said. Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. It's about actions, friends. That is what Jesus wants us to do in order to show love. It's a good reminder that our actions speak so much louder than our words. The gospel of love is illustrated through the actions of generosity. One of the great joys of serving the Lord here is watching the way our board of missions and so many creative and dedicated volunteers come together at Thanksgiving and Christmas and assemble baskets for the needy, meals and more that they share with 20, 30 or more families every year. It's a powerful thing to witness and to watch because all this comes together through generosity. Now, a person who's contemplating being generous may worry a little bit. It's possible that one of you has worried, if I'm generous in this way, am I actually taking away from myself? Will my needs be met? Will I be okay if I write that check? And Jesus makes a promise in the sixth chapter of Luke's gospel. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So those who are generous have no need to worry. God will take care of us. We can take a tip from the author and the Holocaust survivor, Corrie ten Boom. She said, I've learned that we must hold everything loosely because when I grip it tightly, it hurts when the Father pries my fingers loose and takes it from me. Hold things loosely, Corrie says. God says, hold things loosely. Now, a question that some people might ask today is, couldn't I just tell someone that I care? Couldn't I just say, oh, God loves you? And the 18th verse of 1 John chapter 3 answers that question. It says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Do you notice the use of the word children? It's an important word here. It's important in a couple of different ways. We never quit being God's children. We're children to God. And so we need to be taught all the time, as do children. So can we just shake off some of that adulthood for a moment and remember that we are God's kids. And God is speaking to us because once in a while we act like two-year-olds. Now the Apostle John is approximately 90 years old when he's writing these verses under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so he's writing to people who are generations younger than him, who have not had the life experiences that he has had. And so we look to those who are older than us, and we ask them for wisdom. We ask them for guidance. And we're getting it here. We also get it from the author Ruth Calkin. She wrote these words, and they're great words. You know, Lord, how I serve you with great emotional fervor in the limelight. You know how eagerly I speak for you at a woman's club. You know my genuine enthusiasm at Bible study. But how would I react, I wonder, if you pointed to a basin of water and asked me to wash the calloused feet of a bent and wrinkled woman day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw and nobody knew? Now that's a test of truth. That's a test of action. It's a test of love. There was a couple that came to the church office this week, and they hadn't eaten for a couple of days. They were hungry. And so our office administrator, Barb, brought them over to the church building and the kitchen and got them some sandwiches. And then she also got them some food for the rest of the week. And you know what? Hardly anybody saw her do that. There was no applause. But in heaven it was seen by our God. And that, dear friends, is the evidence of authentic love. It's in truth and it's in action. The ninth verse of Romans chapter 12 says that love must be sincere. You know, we can put on a religious cloak and we can walk down the road, but we can walk right by somebody who needs our help. Jesus told a story about two men who did that very thing. They walked by a person who had been beaten and robbed and left for dead, and they passed by on the other side. They didn't even make eye contact with this individual. As verse 17 says, tells us, if we see someone in need and have no pity on him, how can the love of God be in us? You see, that cloak you wear on the outside, which looks so religious, may mean absolutely nothing on the inside. But in that story, Jesus told of a Samaritan who didn't walk by. He bandaged the person's wounds, he poured on oil and wine, then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. You know, that parable of the Good Samaritan symbolized the second of the 2 great commands Jesus said that we needed to follow. The first is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And the second command is, love your neighbor as yourself. That word for love is enormous. It's here in the parable of the Good Samaritan, but it's also here in 1 John chapter 3. The word for love is agape. It's different love from the love that we refer to as eros, which is a romantic love, or philos, which is a brotherly love. It's a love that gives without needing to receive. It's a love that gives in spite of, not because of. Lance and Amy were 20-somethings, and they went to a church in Franklin, Tennessee. And Lance and Amy were going through one of these courses which teaches people how to better manage their finances. And so they were growing in this area of their life. And on one occasion, they found themselves talking with an older couple from their church. They bumped into them at a restaurant, and the issue of this class came up. And the couple asked them, well, how are you doing with the management of your finances since you're going to this class every Sunday? And the couple said, well, we used to have approximately $60,000 in debt. And now, well, it's down to $10,000. And then the couple said to them, well, what will you do when you no longer have any debt? And they looked up into their eyes and disclosed their dream. They said, when we no longer have any debt, when that $10,000 is gone in a few years, we're going to adopt a baby. That's what we're going to do. Well, they parted company that afternoon, but the very next day, that couple reached out to them and said, can we come over to your house? And Lance and Amy said, well, sure. Not long after that call, they were seated together in the living room, and that couple pulled out their checkbook. and they wrote them a check for $10,000. And as they handed them that money to pay off all the rest of their debts, they said, "We only ask two things of you. One is that you tell no one that we gave you this money. And the other is that you don't act strange when you're around us at church." Lance and Amy received that money, and 9 months later, they came home from a hospital with baby Mila. And Lance said, "It was like God saying, I have a baby out there for you right now. I'm not waiting around for another 2 years for you to pay off that debt." That couple had their debt paid, and it freed them to love Mila for the rest of their lives. Jesus did that for you. Jesus did that for me. He paid the debt of our sin so that we would be free the rest of our lives to love people on His behalf. We would be free with our words, our deeds, our actions, and our truth, just like Jesus. And that's the expectation of God's love for you and me. May we pray. Father, we thank You that in our lives, people have shown us Your love. And so with this expectation upon us today, Lord, we ask that You would help us, not only with our words, but with our actions and in truth, to demonstrate the love of our Savior who paid for our sins. Father God, we thank You so much for love. Love. It is what You have given to us through the gift of our salvation and in every day of our lives. Thank You for the love which we have, which we may now show to others because of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is "Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee," number 79. We invite you to stand, and if you have a need for prayer, please come forward and one of our deacons or deaconesses will pray with you.